Welcome to another episode of Workings of the Townships on CJMQ 88.9 FM. This is your host, Shelby, and this week we will be talking about the Jeffrey Mine. And I'm sure if you live in the townships, you're familiar with it. But for those who are not, I'll go through some of its history, like the 1949 asbestos strike, because, there ain't nothing like a good old Quebecois strike. Also, I'll be discussing the devastating health effects it has caused and why the town of Asbestos has decided to change its name. Now, the Jeffrey Mine has a long and interesting history. It was a mine that extracted asbestos, and it opened in 1879 and closed in 2011. In the early days, asbestos was known as the magic mineral due to its fire-resistant properties. It was commonly used for insulating buildings and homes against noise and cold weather. Other commercial and industrial sectors have used this product for things like cement, vehicle brake pads, house siding, and in floor and ceiling tiles. At one time, the Jeffrey Mine was the world's biggest asbestos mine. During the 1960s, it employed around 2,000 people. Asbestos, the town that got its name from this resource, is situated near the Jeffrey Mine. The town depended on the mine to supply jobs. The company even funded its local sports teams and the local church. But this mine has had its ups and downs, especially concerning labor disputes and health risks associated to this mineral. A low point for the Jeffrey Mine was during the 1949 asbestos strike, which began in February of that year. The Thefford and three other asbestos mines in the eastern townships were also involved in the strike. The workers demanded a wage of $1 per hour, 9 paid holidays, union participation in the management of the mine, a pension, and action to protect workers against illnesses caused by asbestos. What seems like a reasonable request for today were quite radical then. And to give some context, in 1949, communist ideology was gaining ground, and politicians seen this as a threat. During the time, Maurice Duplessis was in office. He was opposed to communism and militant unions, who undermined American investment. And since Quebec provided the world with 85% of its asbestos needs, the American-owned business John Manville Company was in need of protection. So when the strike first broke out, it was almost like a festival. People strolled around and music played, but soon the premier declared the strike to be illegal and deployed battalions of provincial police to the site. Also, the company grew restless with the lack of production and hired replacement workers, also known as scabs. The strikers retaliated and set up blockades to keep these replacement workers out. A section of railroad that led to the mine was blown up, and a group of strikers abducted and battered a company official. The police threw tear gas into the crowd. Warning shots were fired, and despite these measures, some police were still pulled out of their vehicles and beaten by the protesters. On May the 6th, a heavily armed police force entered the town and arrested about 180 strikers, and some were severely beaten up. In the media, the brutality of the provincial police became the focal point. During that time, Pierre Trudeau was reporting on the case and claimed that this was a violent announcement that a new era had begun. This is a reason to believe that this was the flame that lit the fire of the Quebec's quiet revolution. Finally, on July 1st, an agreement was reached. Despite the headlines and the incredible fight from the strikers, it was no revolution, since there were few material gains for the workers. Many were not rehired back, and there was little improvement in safety standards. They still had to go back to working in the dangerous air of the asbestos mines. Then, in the 1980s, demand for this fiber dramatically decreased after attention was focused on scientists that were raising alarm bells about the mineral's health risks. Quebec's asbestos mines have been described as the world's most dangerous mines. This statement was made in 1974 by Dr. Selikoff, who was the world's foremost authority on asbestos-related diseases. Asbestos can cause asbestosis, an inflammatory lung disease that is linked to different cancers. Asbestos exposure has been one of the top sources of workplace deaths in Canada. For example, in 1996, around 5,000 approved death claims stemmed from asbestos exposure. In 1999, there were a few laws passed to reduce the use of asbestos, like the prohibition of asbestos and production containing asbestos regulation, which prohibited the import, sale, and use of its manufactured products to some degrees. The effectiveness of these regulations can be debated, since the mining of asbestos continued till 2011. And it wasn't till 2018 till the government put a heavier ban on it. And still today, asbestos kills as many as 2,000 people every year in Canada. There is approximately 152,000 Canadians who are exposed to asbestos in the workplace. The largest industrial groups exposed are specialty trade contractors, building construction, automotive repair, and shipbuilding. Due to the mineral's bad reputation, the town of Asbestos is currently going through a name change. In late 2019, the town announced that it would alter its name in 2020. It is expected to cost around $100,000, and its reasoning to do this is to make the town more marketable to the world. Because having a name that reminds people of cancer isn't very appealing. Their name has also caught international attention. In 2010, an Australian reality show called The Groon Transfer made fun of the town. In an episode, they asked two advertising executives to design a mock video ad for attracting tourists to Asbestos. Now, it wasn't just Asbestos who got the limelight. They were also poking fun at the town of Dildo in Newfoundland for its classy name. Now, there's a lot to be said about the asbestos mines in the Eastern Townships. And if you would like to share your knowledge, please contact me at radioworkings@gmail.com. Again, radioworkings@gmail.com. I'll leave you now with a cover of a Steve Earle song, which is all about mining. The song is called The Mountain, and it is performed by Todd Benjamin. Hope you enjoy. Have a good one.
And I was born on this mountain a long time ago, before they knocked down the timber and stripped mine the coal. And you woke up in the morning before it was light, and you go down in that dark hole and come back at night. And I was born on this mountain, this mountain's my home, and she holds me and keeps me from worry and woe. And now they took everything that she gave, now they're gone. But I will die on this mountain, this mountain's my home. And I was young on this mountain, but now I am old. And I knew every holler and cool swimming hole. Till one night I lay down and woke up to find that my childhood was over and went down in the mine. And I was born on this mountain, and this mountain's my home. And she holds me and keeps me from worry and woe. Now they took everything that she gave, now they're gone. But I will die on this mountain, this mountain's my home. It's dark and it's deep. Oh, and Lord only knows all the secrets she keeps. And there's a chill in the air only miners can feel. And there are ghosts in the tunnels the company sealed. And keeps me from worry and woe. And now they took everything that she gave, now they're gone. But I will die on this mountain, this mountain's my home.